Good afternoon, SIF. I hope you feel joyful today in the presence of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I would like you to take a moment, and I'm literally gonna give you 30 seconds for you to think a moment in your past when you felt joyful. Think about what happened. To flesh out our memories, right? Got I'm a teacher, but also a coach. That's something that gives me joy, coaching basketball. I've been doing that for more than 20 years now. And one thing that really gives me joy is, of course, you like to win, right? Especially when you win tournaments. And you see the joy in your players, the team you lead, and all the hard work paying off. You really feel joyful. And you know, but sometimes to achieve that, we go through many losses also, right? You have to go through some pain and suffering to get there. And we're not always getting there, so it's a process. But this is one. But one that is definitely one of my favorites. It's when my children were born, both of them, different and the same at the same time. But the mix, that the joy, how can I describe that joy? It's a mix of emotions, amazement. I've waited for so long, 9 months. I have no idea who you are there. I know you're good. I know God is giving me, he's blessing me and my wife. Amazement, thankfulness, and of course happiness. And you know, the first thing you do when you're joyful, when something happens, you want to share, right? I don't have Facebook. I don't like Facebook, so I decided I'm not going to do that. So I recognize that gives me a great advantage. When my kids were born, that would be a great advantage to spread out the news, spread out the joy. But I went old-fashioned way, just text all my friends, my best friends, my family members. And a couple of minutes after, 5-10 minutes, well, some of them 1 hour, 2 hours. But eventually, they all congratulate me, and they were sharing that joy with me, right? But very often when you share, people, okay, yeah, good for you. But they don't really... It's not theirs. It's not fully theirs. They share, but it's not fully theirs. But, you know, when my kids were born, you know, joy bubbled out from me, and I really want this birth announcement to go out. And God did the same. God did the same. When Jesus was born, God was joyful also. And I know this is not Christmas, but Christmas can be any day, right? So we have to remember when Jesus Christ came. It's not only December. So I really picked up this Christmas remembrance. And when God announced, God didn't have Facebook also, right? So what was his way? He didn't have phone to send a message. So what did he use? Do you remember? Angels. He's very creative. I didn't have angels. But he sent the angels to communicate for this birth announcement. And this was full of joy, too. It wasn't different. Let's see here what happens. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Not a very joyful moment. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring to you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." It's for everyone. It was God's son, and they could have said, "Yeah, good for you, your son was born." But they said, no. This joy is different. This joy is for everyone. It's for all the people. It's for you also. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So more than announcing, he was saying that this joy was supposed to be spread further. So it was quite beyond the good for you moments, right? This would change. It's for all people. It was not, I'm a proud dad. It was not about that. That wasn't the purpose, which is like in human eyes, that would be the purpose. But the purpose here was to give something. I'm giving you joy. There you go. I give you joy for everyone. And you know, our culture, we don't think joy this way, right? In our culture, you even happy or unhappy. You're joyful or you're not joyful. It's one or the other. And what we do when we want joy, within our culture, what we look for. I know this looks like cliche, but we keep doing the same over and over. So we look for parties, we look for possessions, we look for a good partner, we look for fame, we look for some power, we all look the same. And don't take me wrong, we find happiness there, right? But that's momentaneous. What happens when we don't go through some joyful moments? So we're supposed to have something that is more meaningful. I can give you two examples, maybe one. I remember a few years ago, one goalkeeper, famous goalkeeper, a German, he had everything, all money, everything, fame. That was Robert Anker. But maybe you know Robin Williams, famous actor, one of my favorites. Fame, talented, for sure had people around him. But you know, both of them committed suicide. And they had everything. So it goes beyond that. The thing is that, again, it looks like cliche, but we keep doing the same, even Christians. We know this, but we don't learn. It's good to learn from mistakes, but it's even better when we learn and we don't make the mistakes other ones did. But we often say, when we give advice, we expect, for instance, our kids not to do the same mistakes. I learned because I did that and that was a mistake. Don't do the same. But they have to go through it. They got to do it. It's going to be different with me. So I'm still going to do it. For with us, it's always different than others. It's so important to learn from the mistakes others do. But that's our human nature. And I have so many episodes. I'm bringing you one from someone who had a lot, and he was really seeking joy. King Solomon. Look what he said. He's the wisest man on earth. He asked for wisdom, and God gave him this wisdom. Look what he says. After much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. Do you recognize this pattern here? Oh. Wisdom. He was seeking wisdom. I clutched at foolishness. In this way, I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. Still in our days, some people, they find their happiness there. I also tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. I like this example because especially as expats, most of us, we expect we're overseas and we expect to get some money. We go home and we buy a really nice house and we live there. It's kind of one of our end goals. You go back and you have things there and you're happy. He did the same.
I made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. I built reservoirs to collect the water to irrigate my many flowering groves. I bought slaves, both men and women, and others were born into my household. I also owned large herds and flocks, more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. So this guy, he had possessions. He had a lot. I collected great sums of silver and gold, the treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines, many women, so many men who find happiness in having women here. I had everything a man could desire, everything. We can find happiness according to the world, the culture we live in. So I became greater than all who had lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. Because today we have in our culture, if you want to be, to have happiness, you should deny no pleasure. Just go with your heart. Just go. No limits. No limits. Just go. I even found great pleasure in hard work. Are you a workaholic? You find happiness there? Some people do. A reward for all my labor. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was so meaningless. Like chasing the wind. Are you chasing the wind? There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. So we've got someone here who had everything. We can learn. What are you looking for? So he's not the solution. So let's find a solution here. Look at this one. All Solomon did first was seeking his own pleasure, my own pleasure. Look what it says in 1 Timothy here. But the widow, and we can say, but us who live for pleasure, if we live for pleasure, you are dead. You are dead, spiritually dead, even while you live. So where can we find this joy? We've seen, let's go back here. God gave us joy through Jesus. Jesus is joy. He gave us that for all. It's a gift from God. And Jesus later sends who? The Holy Spirit to live in us. So can I say joy is in you? Amen. The moment you accept Jesus, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. And I can back this up. And we've been studying. Once the Spirit lives in you, look at the fruits. And this is the topic we've been studying. And this is the last one. Today's joy. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Everything comes out of joy. I mean of love. Everything comes out of love. All the other fruits, and they are all held by self-control. There is no law against these things. So we often ask for, let's say, patience. God, give me patience. You don't need to ask. You have it in you. The Spirit lives in you. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Maybe you need to ask how to use it. God, teach me. Help me. Help me to grow my patience. You have it in you. What God is going to do is to give you the situations. He's going to provide you opportunities to develop. So if you need patience, maybe he's going to give you a child that has strong personality. Wow. You need a couple of years to develop your patience. Praise God. He put it in you. It's a seed. But like all fruits start with the seeds. Needs to be developed. You need to practice. You need to go over those situations. Every time you don't apply it, you're just wasting the situation. You're not growing. So take all the opportunities. to develop that. You know, an example, we all have muscles, right? Everyone has muscles here. But not everyone grows the muscles. You don't put focus there. You don't go to a gym. You don't put focus in your muscles. They don't grow. You have it there, but you're not going to ask God for muscles. You've got it already. Guys, but you need to learn how to use it. You need to learn. You need to study. You need to find scientific knowledge to know how to grow it. Same thing. You need to find the Word of God. And that's what leads me here to the a few verses from the Bible to back this up. And I'm going to start with one that most people use when they want to talk about joy. There's so many songs that refer to this. Especially people often just read the second part, which says, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Hands up if you know this one. You knew this one, right? Every time you go through some suffering, joy comes in the morning. But let me give you the context of this one. It starts for God's anger. Okay, God is angry. Why is he angry? But his favor lasts a lifetime. He's angry, but still, his favor will last a lifetime. And there's a consequence. When he's angry, I'm weeping. But then, because of his favor, his rejoice will come. And David wrote, when he wrote this psalm, the context was, and you can read this, I'm not going to show you here, otherwise the message would be too long here, but you can read these for your homework. 1 Chronicles 21 and 2 Samuel 24. And you will see that at that time, God asked David to go through a census. And the things weren't done correctly. There was a mistake here. Instructions weren't followed. And God was, as you can see here, God was angry. He was dissatisfied. He didn't really like it. And he told David, hey, choose three things. I'm going to punish you right now, like we do to our kids. But usually we don't give them options. God, as a way to show mercy, gave them three options. But he had to go through discipline. 3 years of famine, 3 months being pursued by your enemies, fleeing away from your enemies, 3 days of disease. Of course, David was a plague. So David was, he repented. It's like, oh, punish me, not my people, not the people. But still, he chose the plague. And God was so good, like, number one, gave him the option not to be dominated by his enemies. But God also shortened this plague. Still, God is merciful. God is good. But we still need to go through discipline. And we're going to suffer sometimes. So, this is the context. Look at this verse here. No discipline is enjoyable. While it is happening. However, and it's painful, but after there will be a peaceful harvest of right living. But for who? Because you can go through discipline and still you don't learn. But if you learn, if you humble, and if you accept, for those who are trained in this way, even to receive discipline, you got to be trained to receive and take the best from that discipline. That's why when we discipline our kids, so often they don't learn. They need to be trained in receiving that discipline. So this is the context of this verse. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. But we tend to use it in a broader sense. And what I'm going to say now is not very comfortable, not very pleasing. Because just because we're Christians, we tend to think everything will be okay. Everything is going to be fine. We'll have no suffering because God is blessing us. But that's not the example we have from the Bible. You see so many examples. see the disciples, you see the first Christians. They didn't have, according to the world's patterns, a happy life there. So they had to find joy somewhere. They were persecuted, they were killed. So not a joyful moment. Paul had to live with physical problems his whole life. So I'm sorry to say that. And we're blessed because we are healthy. We have what we need compared to other people. Nothing is missing. So we're blessed. But there might be the day that you do not have this, and you will go through pain. Now, God can give you this day, this rejoice now in your life. It might take one day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, and you will have this joy. But what if the joy is when you live with God? That can happen. Our life on earth, because it's the consequence of sin. So our body is not perfect. We're going to suffer. So for some people, they live their whole life with this suffering, but they can still have joy. You know this, right? So many people will go through this problem. And I'm not going to get into detail, otherwise it would be a sermon about suffering and the purpose of suffering. But you can still glorify God through your suffering. And we will see. You can still have joy through your suffering. It can be, again, one day, 1 year, your whole life. So let's look at other verses here. Oh, just to say this one here, I forgot I had this verse. That's his promise. So that's the joy when the joy comes in the morning. So in the more extreme situation, we have this promise. He will wipe. Look at this promise. God will wipe every tear from your eyes. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever when we are in eternity with God. Amen. Can we shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. We will be there and no sorrow, no pain, no cry. He will wipe away your tears. That's when the joy comes in the morning. We're going to have our morning. But in the meantime, you can still have joy. How? I'm going to share some verses. All who seek you, rejoice and be glad in you. So seek him. May those who long for you, for your saving, help always say, the Lord is great. So seek. And if you seek him, you will rejoice. You will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Seek his presence and he will fill you with joy. Even if you go through pain and suffering, he will fill you with joy, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. One more here. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. So seek him, fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. That's the solution. It's not either you have it or you don't have it. You have joy, you have no joy. You go through some comfortable moments in your life and you're happy. Here he goes through some pain and suffering. You can still have joy. You can still have joy. You can always have joy. All you got to do is to seek his presence. And fear him. And fear him. But it's in you. But you still need to search. You still need to develop. So when you search for joy, you need to search for Jesus. Let's go back to this. To Christmas. Let's go back to Christmas. What else did God send? What did he sent to us, like as a signal. It, remember, he didn't have Facebook. So he used angels. What else did he use to announce? A star. A star. That's a signal. Another way to communicate, whoa. There's someone special coming. There's joy coming. Joy for you. It's you. I give you. Look what happened to these wise men. So they followed the star and found the joy that was promised by the angels. Look what they did. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked. So they saw, they followed, they were looking for signals, they followed the signal, but then they also asked questions. They asked questions. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. See the signal. Ask questions. Worship. The star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Oh, not joy, it's overjoyed. You can be overjoyed in the presence of Christ. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and they gave the best they had. They gave the best they had to him. They presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We studied all these three, the meaning of all these three during Christmas. So we've got a great example here. They are wise, right? So it's good to learn from wise people. If they are wise, we should learn from them. So what can we learn from them? Because they were overjoyful. So we can also be. Look at these signals here. Some of what the wise men did, just recapping. They observed. They observed the star. They were paying attention. That's a different star. Whoa, what's going on there? It's different. They saw the signs and noticed when God was doing a new thing. There's a new thing. There's something new. Are you paying attention on what is around you? Do you actually stop? Do you actually stop? Or is that your life always in a hurry that you have no time to stop and observe? Stop. Take time. Observe. Stay quiet. The world is teaching a lot about mindfulness. Breathe in, breathe out. But we Christians, we should stop. Christfulness, not mindfulness. I'm becoming aware of his presence. Tune in. He's here, but I gotta tune in. I gotta turn the button until I'm synchronized. He speaks in a soft voice. He's not loud. He's not gonna shout. It's a soft, still voice. That's what the Bible says. We gotta stop. We gotta observe. We gotta listen. They searched. They asked questions. They sought. They followed. They took actions. They asked questions. They valued. They wouldn't pursue and take such a long time and long journey, expensive journey, if that baby had no value. So they were pursuing value. And last, they worshipped. All steps, if you're seeking Jesus, if you're seeking that joy that comes from Jesus, these are the steps. They worship. Their intent was truly from a heart to know God. They weren't looking for their own pleasures. Why am I going to follow a star for my own pleasure? I'm going something for something more, something my heart really wants to do, and I'm going to offer. It's of giving away, not taking in. It's not about me. It's about giving. So I would like to take this time for you to think, and let's go back to these steps here. Observe. Have you been noticing the signs God is giving you? As I said, do you stop? Can you see what has shifted in your life lately? Do you wonder about new things that are happening around you? Search. Are you actively searching for God? Are you asking spiritual guidance from someone? Do you actually go to a home group to talk with other Christians, other brothers and sisters? Ask questions. Or do you do it all by yourself? It's between me and God. I got a good relationship with God. I don't need anyone. Ask questions for others or to others. Have you been praying diligently without ceasing? Are you asking God questions? Value. Do you understand who really Jesus is? And this will take me to the next point here. Do you really understand who Jesus is? Do you know his value? Do you understand who God says he is? You're just scratching the surface. You can be a Christian for 20 years, 30 years, and he's still scratching the surface. No one knows the depths of his love. The width of his love. That's what the Bible says. I don't know about you. I don't know. I'm scratching the surface. But I want to know more. I want to know more. So I still seek his value. Do you really worship? Do you really have a heart that wants God? Or is your faith lukewarm? How is your faith? Are you offering him your time, your talents? We've got a lot of ministries in our church that need your time and talents. Don't leave it to others. Often in churches, we have 20% of people actually offering that. So are you offering your time and talents? You know, when we have joy, we express it outwards. So we have that joy. We seek that joy from our relationship with God. And we express it outwards. What are ways we can express it? We can show that joy. We can express that joy. I'm going to share some verses here. But praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Praise, worship, and thanksgiving. And thanksgiving comes when we really recognize God's value, when we recognize who God really is. That all can only come when we spend time with him. That's when we can give him really value and we can appreciate and we can be thankful. And of course, when we are thankful, we are joyful. Make sense? I'm joyful with someone. When someone did something good for me, I'm so thankful. I have that joy and I express that joy towards that person. Same thing with God. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs to express your gratitude. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. That's what we do here every Sunday. But you can do that in your own time with God. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. It's reading the Bible, it's praying, but it's also singing, expressing our worship through songs. There's more ways to worship, but this is a very important way to express our praise. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. So this is a way we can express this joy, the joy we have in Jesus. But it's very important, let me reinforce this point, that we develop this attitude of being grateful, being thankful for what he did. What he did, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. Because God is preparing great things for you. Amen? God is preparing great things for you. And you can give thanks in advance. So, a second way we can express, and I'm almost finishing here, and this is so important, this part. Because, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is there for us to interact with others, to serve others. That's the main purpose. But we cannot serve others if you not have things right with God and with ourselves. I cannot love others if I don't love myself, if I have issues with my self-esteem. If I'm not correct with God, God is not going to pour out his blessings to me, and then through me, I'm blessed to be a blessing. So that's why we need to seek him first to have this joy, but then we cannot keep it. So we express that joy back to him through things, through songs and praise and worship. But that should be outwards also. And then that's when it comes this verse here. Oh, the joys. So that's how you can find joy also. Of those who are kind to the poor. And here we can go beyond the poor. When we are kind, when we love our brothers and sisters. We are supposed to love. And we get back and just wrap up the Fruit of the Spirit series. It's all about love. It's all about love. When we're joyful, we express and an outward expression of that joy is loving others. And by doing that, we will get joy also. We will have this joy we want. Can we do this? Can we serve others and love others when we go through, even when we go through suffering and pain? Absolutely. And that's when you're going to give the best example. That's when you're going to show the difference between you and someone who's not a Christian. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So even when you go through pain and suffering, you still, the joy will give you the strength you need. And you still put it outwards. Put that joy outward by loving others. That will distract you from your pain, and that joy will be poured out into your life, even through those difficult times. You know, love is something that you need, just like the other ones. You need to pursue. You need to be diligent. You need to work on it like all other fruits. And just give you evidence here. And this is the way we should put the two verses here all together just to finish. Look what it says, the second one. Clothe yourselves with love. Above all, clothe yourselves with love. I don't know, but to put clothes on, I need to take action. It takes effort. It doesn't come up. I need to put on. I need to be intentional. I need to be diligent. I need to put action, effort, and commitments, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. So this love binds us together. Love must be pursued. You've got to pursue it. So when you're fellowshipping with others together, think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Do that, and joy will overflow into your life. Amen. So just recapping. Let's see if you were paying attention. What can you and I, what can we do to grow the joy that is within you? What can you do to grow the joy that is already within you? What can you do? You can say, don't be shy. What can you do? Observe, seek his presence. What else? Church? Oh, search, seek his presence here. And he puts, fear him. Seek his presence, search him, fear him. Worship him. That's my point number 4. Praise and worship him with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is an important factor in this equation. I'm not going to be silent and give you a mathematical equation. But thanksgiving is a factor. Value him. Know who he is. Study the Bible. Spend time asking questions. And use your brothers and sisters to help you answer. Maybe they also have the same questions. Together you can study the word and find the answers there. And with your life experiences. And number 5. be a blessing to others, showing the love of God to them. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. Amen. Thank you.